Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word, would you by your spirit speak and reveal to us more of your son. In Jesus' name, amen. I have some friends back in England called Phyllis and Chris. And Phyllis, she's ordained. She and I were at seminary together. That's how I know her. Chris is a hand surgeon, one of the top hand surgeons in the UK. And he is an avid cycler. He loves to cycle. He'll go on like hours on these sort of speed fancy bikes. I don't know anything about it, so I'm not going to try and act like I do. But recently, he'll go off on tours across England and across Europe. And recently, he went on a few day cycle across the north of France. And he and Phyllis have a kind of a regular routine of saying morning prayer together in the morning. They'll pray together, get out on that. The daily prayer app they have on their phones, and they'll work through with a coffee, sat in bed, praying. And although he was away from Phyllis, he still did his act of morning prayer. And he posted on social media about this. He tried something a little different. And he prayed the Lord's Prayer, as you do often when you pray, but he changed it from the sort of Our Father to My Father. So he prayed, "My Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me today my daily bread. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil." And I know it's important for us to say it in the second person plural, so to say, you know, Our Father, because we're praying it together as a community. But there's something really powerful about listening to those words in the first person singular, about making them your own and making this prayer your own. It's very easy when we're in church, when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Maybe this is just me, but I'm guessing some people are like me. I know the Lord's Prayer so well, I can start praying it and then I can be saying amen, and I have not really listened to any of the words in between. And it's just kind of, it's on autopilot. My brain is thinking about what I'm having for lunch or like my next role in the service or something else. And so it's important for me, at least, and so hopefully you will benefit from my reflection on this. It's important for us to kind of dig a little deeper sometimes and to spend some time reflecting on those words that we pray so often, but aren't just words to be recited and repeated kind of until we forget their meaning. But actually to dwell on them and think, what does this mean for how I pray? Oftentimes, Marty, I, the other clergy here, we've spent a lot of time studying theology, right? We've spent a lot of time in church. We've spent a lot of time practicing how to pray. We can pray some prayers that will sound like super fancy, super impressive, and super holy. And I've had people say, "Oh, you're so good at praying." I'm like, I can say the words, right? I know how to wing it, if you will. But actually what God wants prayer to be is honest, real, and personal. So kind of with that in mind, what does it mean to make the Lord's Prayer personal? Like, what does it mean to make it real? What do we learn from Luke's gospel and Luke's retelling of Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray? The first thing is this. Prayer is learned. Prayer is learned. The disciples actually ask Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And the onus isn't on them, right? They know they have a relationship with somebody who will teach them and show them how to do it. A lot of people pray. By some estimates, 4 out of 5 people, whether theist or atheist, pray every week. I kind of Googled it to kind of see. I couldn't find any article that I really wanted to share with you, but I did read one story of a guy that he's an atheist. He doesn't really believe in God, but he'll pray. And then he'll say, "Well, why did I do that? What's the point?" But when push comes to shove, when people are stressed, we want somebody bigger than us. We want somebody more powerful than us to intervene to help our situation. We all have, I think, this innate drive to pray. The drive to kind of turn to something bigger than us, whether or not we admit it and acknowledge it. But like with any habit or task or anything that we're called to do as Christians, we kind of need to learn it. We need to be trained. And God doesn't want us to, it's not about kind of us just performing another task. God wants to show us how to do it. He wants to teach us how to communicate with him, how to relate to him, and how to love him. And the disciples knew that. They went to Jesus and they said, Lord, we see you. We know that you're Lord. You're not a rabbi, you're Lord. Teach us to pray. Show us how to pray. Even learning to pray itself is done in the context of relationship with God. And the second thing that we learn about prayer from the Lord's Prayer in Luke's Gospel is that prayer is a two-way street. Now, have you ever had a friend who you kind of maybe go for coffee, you go for lunch, whatever, and they just talk nonstop, right? They just talk about themselves, what they're up to, what's going on in their lives, how their family is, how work is, their vacation. I have people in my family like that, right? And I've discovered it. Sometimes you can't even finish the conversation, you just got to walk away, and eventually they'll stop talking. Or if you manage to get a word in and you say something, they say, oh, that reminds me of the time when, and they bring it back around to themselves. Now, in those kinds of friendships, sometimes, eventually, we kind of begin to get the message, do they really want to know me? Do they really care? Are they actually interested in me as a person, or am I just a foil for their self-absorption? Like, is that all I am? Prayer is a two-way street. We'll get on to kind of how God wants us to bring our requests to him. But he actually wants us to seek him and to pray the things that he wants and to listen to him. Prayer starts with God. It starts with praying that he might be honored in the world. Hallowed be thy name. We want God to be honored in the world and in our lives. We want to know his will. Your kingdom come, Lord. And it involves acknowledging the intimate access that we have to God through Jesus. Because we pray, Father. We pray, we get to call him Father, our heavenly Father, our Father who art in heaven. The language of God and Father, God as Father, is something that we see in the Old Testament. But generally speaking, it's done in relation to the whole of Israel. It's kind of done in corporate, kind of bigger settings. But here, it's not usually done in the context of personal prayer. But Jesus introduces it, and we see it throughout John's Gospel, the way he addresses God as Father. And he says that we can use that language of the God who is over all and above all, God who is so transcendent and far off and above creation, is also near and accessible in an intimate relationship. Now, for some of us, that is a really easy thing to pray, right? For those of us who have a great relationship with our Father, we can pray our Father, and it fills us with that history of loving relationship with our human father, our biological parent, and kind of and how they've loved us, steward us, help us through decision making, shown us how to live in this world, how to be an adult, and knowing that when we fall down, they'll help us to kind of get back up and get back on the straight and narrow and where we should be. And so for some of us, that's a really easy thing to pray. But for others of us, that's not an easy thing to pray. For others of us, we hear those words and we think, well, if God's a father, I don't want him. And we might be disinclined to pray that. It might be really hard to pray the word Father and call God Father in that way. And I will say, I'm not going to go into this because I want to focus on the Lord's Prayer, but I will just say this. Don't give up on calling God Father. Don't give up calling God Father. If that means that when we pray the Lord's Prayer together, you just kind of have to sort of step back and you can say, our God, for now, and you'll just hear other people saying Father and you'll get back to it at some point, do that. But know that although it's painful, God wants to show you that he is a loving father and a good father, and he wants to show you what fatherhood is about. And he will be the father to the orphan, to the widow, to the fatherless, and he wants to be your father. He wants to show you something different. So although it's painful, actually calling God Father can eventually be healing. So I just want to encourage you, if that's a difficult thing for you to pray, hold on, come talk to me, come talk to Marty. We'd love to sit down and hear your story, talk with you, pray with you, and see where things are at. But in the context, in the Lord's Prayer, prayer is personal, and we get to call God Father. Even though we are praying that he is honored, he is glorified in this world, that his will is done, that he is king over all, we're acknowledging that he's far off, we're also acknowledging that he is near. When I used to be a high school teacher, and bless my kids, they weren't the brightest bunch in the world. And so I would have to kind of feed them on a lot of things really kind of step by step. And so I used to say, what is the kingdom of God? Right? Because I taught religious education. What is the kingdom of God? And the reply that I trained them in, like liturgy, it is where God gets to rule. The kingdom of God is where God gets to rule. Any kingdom, if somebody is the king, if somebody is the monarch, except in kind of my country because our monarchy is different, but typically, historically, a king or a queen, if they're overall, their will is law. What they say goes. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we're praying, God, I want your will to be done in this world. I want your will to be done in my life. And so prayer is a two-way street where we're seeking God. We're seeking him as the intimate one who loves us, but the one whose will we want to be done in the world. So prayer is learned, and Jesus will teach us and shape us as we go. Prayer is a two-way street, right? We're called to start with God when we pray, to acknowledge him, our relationship with him, our desire for his will in the world. And the third thing that we learn is that prayer involves us trusting God with our everyday selves. Prayer involves trusting God with our everyday selves. You know, in church, if you've been brought up in the church, you know, we talk about morning prayer, we talk about quiet times, we talk about reading the Bible, Bible study, all kinds of different ways that you might talk about kind of spending time with God every day. But we kind of, it's something that we talk about a lot. Like, this is important. And we're not just trying to add an extra thing to your to-do list, right? It's not just to be something that you do for the sake of doing it. But it's something that we need to do because each day has enough stress of its own. And by praying, by bringing things to God in prayer, by saying, give me today my daily bread, give me the things that I need for this day to get through, to bear with all that I have to bear with, we are learning to trust God. We are learning to seek God in the small things and in the everyday things. The other piece of this is that we often focus on the spiritual a lot. We talk about our eternal salvation and the kind of the big picture of all the kind of the non-physical spiritual things, and we try and divide them. But here, Jesus gives us something very tangible. Give us today our daily bread. And Jesus wasn't talking about spiritual bread alone, right? He's talking about our needs, our need for sustenance, our need for strength, our need not to kind of lash out at our colleague who's been causing us so much frustration over the last few weeks, right? Or whatever it is. All those sort of material needs and very real needs, God wants us to bring them to him, to say, look, I know that you are the source of all goodness and life. Give me today the things that I need to do this day well and as you would have me do it. Sometimes we can kind of go too far to one extreme or the other, right? When we talk about praying for our needs, we can kind of think of God as like a heavenly Santa or a heavenly platinum card, right? I can just, you know, I'll just pray and I'll ask him for all the things I need, and in that I will put all the things that I want as well. I got a friend, and pretty much every time I talk to her, she'll say something like, I just treated myself too. Like, if you're doing it all the time, is it really a treat? I mean, is it? So we can pray that, like, I need everything that I want, right? We can kind of deceive ourselves in that way. But the flip side of that is that we can kind of become like super stoic, monastic in what are our actual needs. Well, I only need food, and I only need a roof over my head, and I only need my cell phone. Maybe we'd go with that one, right? But I'm not going to spend money on these things, and I try and resist other needs. I remember once when I was very strapped for cash, and I leant more towards that I don't need anything, I'll be fine. And very strapped for cash, but also kind of going through a lot emotionally, and I was seeing a counselor and kind of struggling with a lot of things. And I realized I had to trust God and maybe spend a little more time socializing and going out to the movies and doing things because God cared about my mental health as much as he cared about me having a roof over my head. And I could trust him. And so it wasn't that I was suddenly going out and doing everything, but I was just kind of going, you know what, I'm going to go and do things that will help me mentally because I believe God cares about my relational health and that I'm living well in this world, not just whether my stomach is full or not. So we pray, give us today my daily bread. Give me the things that I need to get through. Proverbs 30, verse 8 to 9 says this, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that I need, or I shall be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or I shall be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord. If we have too much, we can think that it's just, we've got this from ourselves and we forget that it's actually all from God in the first place. We can forget to be grateful. And if we have too little, it can tempt us to steal. It can tempt us to take from others. It can tempt us to cut corners to get what we want. So feed me, give me today my daily bread. So we pray for our material needs. We also pray for our moral and spiritual needs on a daily basis. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Lead us not into a time of trial. And these two is really simple. Okay, one, we pray daily for forgiveness. Two, we pray daily to resist evil. Now the forgiveness piece, you know, forgiving others and being forgiven by God kind of go hand in hand. We're not going to really be able to receive God's forgiveness unless we're forgiving others. We're not going to be able to forgive others unless we're receiving, knowing how depraved we are and how much we need God's forgiveness. They kind of go hand in hand. It's a logical connection. So each day we need to be asking God. I mean, if you know people in AA or if you're in kind of 12-step program, talk about making, you know, a daily, making amends and kind of having a daily check. And like, where have I messed up today? Who have I offended? Where have I sinned against God? What have I done that needs God's forgiveness? Did I lash out? Was I too defensive? Was I mean? Was I spiteful? And who have I been angry at today? Who have I been grinding on my drive to work thinking they're just so annoying and da-da-da-da-da, and when's somebody going to sort them out? What bitterness do I need to let go of? Who do I need to trust to God? Who do I not forgive? And so I need to pray that they are blessed, that they know God and they know good things, and to release them to Jesus. So we pray for those daily needs. Forgiveness is not just about kind of a big abstract concept. It's a daily lived reality. And then the other piece of our moral and spiritual needs, lead us not into a time of trial. There's been a big, if you follow any news around the Pope, there was a big discussion recently about, is he saying that we should change the Lord's Prayer because he agreed to this rewording that the French Catholic Church wanted to do. I'm not going to get into all of that. I'm just going to give you the answer, okay? If you want to talk about it, we can, but lead us not into temptation. Okay, it's very clear. James 1 says, no one when tempted should say, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. So when we say, lead us not into temptation, we are not saying God tempts us, and God is the one to stop tempting us. What we're saying is, and here's a good way of thinking about it, Jesus, when he was after his baptism, the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and during that time, he happened to be tempted. Right? God can take us into situations that can sometimes be stressful and can sometimes tempt us. So it's not that God is doing the tempting, but we're saying, God, help us to resist evil. Help us to see it. Help us to step away from it. Help us to stay faithful to you. And so on a daily basis, Lord, help me to say the thing that I really need to say, but I don't want to say. And not be tempted just to kind of be quiet and walk away and not deal with reality. Lord, help me to resist the temptation to gossip about so-and-so whenever the rest of the office is doing so. Lord, help me to do my work for the sake of work being a good thing to do, and it's honoring to God for us to do good work, not about the recognition that I get because I'm seeking the attention of others, or not because of the money or whatever else, other kind of reward, but actually just the reward of doing good work because God calls us to. God, help me to see the red flags that draw me away from you and into the way that the world works. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are called to pray it personally. Now, it doesn't mean we pray it in the first person all the time, but as we pray it, we are called to kind of to really make that the shape of the way that we engage with God each day. Jesus taught us how to do it. He gave us the words. He's probably right. I'm just going to say. You can read the books that say 30 Days to a Better Prayer Life, but my money's on this one, right? If it's from the Son of God, I think it might have a little more to it than whatever has been recently published by Zondervan or whoever else. And I will say this, you might not know this, y'all are mostly Episcopalian. Our liturgy is our theology. We believe that praying shapes believing. If we, you know, pray, if you don't pray much, start somewhere, right? It doesn't matter where you start somewhere. But eventually you're going to want to start to kind of maybe use the Lord's Prayer a little more and dig into it some. Because as we pray it, we learn to believe it. As we pray these things about forgiveness, we learn to be forgiving people. As we pray, God, give me the things that I need for today, we learn to trust him with our lives. As we pray, Lord, your kingdom come, we begin to actually seek his will over our will. So let's ask Jesus to be our teacher, our guide, the one who teaches us to pray, who shows us prayer as a two-way street, and shows us that he will take care of every need, both spiritual and material. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us this prayer, these words, to help us as we connect with you and relate to you and learn to be in relationship together. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us to know you both as God who is above all and over all, but also the God who is Father and near and involved in our everyday. Help us to trust you with each day as it comes. Help us to be forgiving and to be forgiven. And help us to stay faithful for who you are calling us to be and what you are calling us to do in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.